Tonight we are continuing our study in the book of Galatians, and we have come to chapter 4, verses 12 through 20. So I'm going to read Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 through 20, and this is what it says. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. As we have been saying, legalism is the notion that a person can earn God's favor by keeping the law. The Galatians had accepted this teaching from false teachers who had infiltrated the churches after Paul established them. We call these false teachers Judaizers because the flavor of their teaching is Jewish. Their emphasis is upon keeping the law. So Paul has been arguing against legalism since chapter 3, verse 1. So far, he has argued that legalism is foolish because the blessings of salvation did not come to the Galatians by legalism, but by faith. Salvation has always been on the basis of faith, not legalism. And because the law was never intended to be a means of salvation. After spending a lot of time explaining the purpose of the law in the progressive revelation of God's plan of redemption, Paul now turns to another reason why legalism is foolish. He is going to give us another reason in chapter 4, verse 21 through 31, and another one in chapter 5, 1 through 12. But this passage tonight argues against legalism based on the personal relationship between the Galatians and Paul. He starts out with the irony of the situation. What is the irony of the situation? Verse 12 says, "Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are." What is he saying? Paul was a Jew. He was born a Jew. He was born under the law, and he was zealous for the law. He says, "I have become as you are." What he means is that he gave up living under the requirements of the law when he was converted to Christ. The Galatians were Gentiles. They never lived under the ceremonial and ritual law of Moses. Paul became like them in that he gave up keeping the ceremonial and ritual law. That part of the law was made obsolete by Christ. Justification is by grace through faith in Christ. That is the gospel apart from the law. Paul came to the Galatians as someone who was saved by grace through faith in Christ, who did not have to keep the ceremonial and religious and ritual laws of Judaism, and preached the gospel of justification by faith in Christ alone, apart from the law. They received the message. But then Judaizers came and told them that they had to keep the law in order to have favor with God. So they started to keep the law along with faith in Christ. in order to be right with God. We read in our passage last week in chapter 4, verse 10, that they were keeping days and months and seasons and years, which suggests Sabbath days and sacred months and festivals and sabbatical years. Paul says, I became like you Gentiles because it is not necessary to keep the law to be saved, so you become like me and quit living by legalism. The irony of the situation is that Paul became like them as Gentiles, not under the law, and now they were becoming like him as a Jew who was under the law when it was not necessary. They were being led astray into legalism by the Judaizers. The second thing he says is that legalism has destroyed your joy. Verse 13 through 15 says, you know, it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. That is a description of the precious personal relationship that Paul had with the Galatians. He says, when I first came to you to preach the gospel, it was because of a bodily ailment. The reason he was there in their cities was because of an illness. We do not know exactly what he is talking about here. We do not know what kind of an illness he experienced. It is all speculation, but it is very likely that he had some kind of an eye ailment. The reason I say that is because verse 15 says, if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. It makes sense that the reason they were willing to gouge out their eyes and give them to him, if possible, was because he was having some kind of an eye ailment. But furthermore, at the end of the book, in chapter 6, verse 11, he says, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Why would he be writing with such large letters? And why would he be emphasizing this to the Galatians? It could be that he was scrawling out large letters because his eyesight was bad, and the Galatians would have known about this and would have remembered the trouble that he was having with his eyes. It could have been a flare-up of the same ailment he experienced when he was with them that first time. At any rate, the fact that they were willing to gouge out their own eyes, if possible, and give them to him is evidence of the depth of their appreciation for him when he came to them to preach the gospel. Why was their appreciation for Paul so deep? It was because of the joy they experienced when they heard the gospel. But in verse 15, Paul says, what then has become of your blessedness? The Galatians had experienced blessedness when they heard the message of the gospel of justification by faith in Christ. They experienced the joy of salvation. What has become of your joy? Legalism destroys joy. They had begun to practice the legalism taught by the Judaizers, and it killed their joy. You'll never see a legalist with real joy. They are always sour. They are always critical. They are always judgmental. Legalism encourages that kind of thing. If you've ever seen the movie Les Miserables or read the book, there are two characters in it that represent legalism and grace. Javert is a police officer who represents legalism. He is driven by a desire to have the law enforced by the letter right down to the severest extent with no mercy whatsoever. Jean Valjean is a man who was arrested for stealing something to eat to feed his starving family and sentenced to 18 years in prison and punished way too severely for his small crime. Jean Valjean served his sentence and was released on something like parole. He had restrictions as to what he could do and where he could go. He violated his parole. He stole some silverware from a bishop. But the bishop showed mercy to Jean Valjean and told the police that he had given the silverware to Jean Valjean. He even insisted that he take some silver candlesticks too. That act of mercy made a big difference in Jean Valjean's life. He went to another town and did good deeds. He was a man who showed mercy and kindness to everybody. Jean Valjean represents a life that has been changed by grace. Javert pursued him relentlessly because he wanted every ounce of a pound of flesh for every infraction of the law. Javert is a picture of legalism. Legalism destroys joy. Now, thirdly, Paul talks about the difference between him and the Judaizers. The rest of this passage draws a contrast between Paul and the Judaizers. Verse 16 through 19 says, "Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose. And not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." Apparently, Paul had been accused of being their enemy. But he was telling them the truth. And maybe they didn't want to hear that now that the false teachers had come in and influenced them. Sometimes telling the truth makes enemies. Sometimes people reject the teaching of the Bible because they don't like it. Sometimes people reject biblical doctrine because they do not like it. We should never reject the teaching of the Bible because we don't like it, or biblical doctrine simply because we do not like it. The question is it true? Truth is what matters. The truth of the matter is that the false teachers had an evil motive. He says, "They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out that you may make much of them." The motive of the false teachers was self-gratifying, even if it meant shutting the Galatians out of the kingdom and destroying their joy in Christ. They did not care because they wanted the Galatians to make much of them. The human ego is a powerful thing. The desire for the praise of men is a powerful thing and a seductive thing. I'm convinced that many preachers preach for self-aggrandizement. I'm convinced that many preachers preach for the praise of men. In contrast to the selfish motives of the false teachers, Paul's motive, stated in verse 19, was that Christ be formed in them. That is an unselfish motive. Paul was not trying to get his ego stroked. Paul was not trying to build himself into people. Paul was not trying to build his own little kingdom of followers. Paul was not trying to get as many followers as he could possibly get for himself. He wanted to see people converted to Christ and for Christ to be formed in them. That is the goal of the Christian ministry. John Calvin said, if ministers wish to do any good, let them labor to form Christ, not to form themselves in their hearers. The aim of a Christian preacher is not to build into someone else's life something from himself, but the aim of the true Christian with the true pastoral spirit, the true shepherd's heart, is to build Christ into the hearts of his listeners with the apostolic message of the Holy Scriptures. That is my desire. That in my study of the Word of God, Christ might be formed in me. And in the preaching of the Word of God, Christ might be formed in you. Let's pray.